helpful principles in marriage, but it's more, probably more correctly entitled male-female relationships, because it has a lot to do with the differences between the way men and women think. And I think any discussion on men and women and any discussion on marriage should be fun. So I try to have a lot of fun during this. But one thing I don't want to do is end up with any husbands or wives having sore ribs at the end of the night. Some of you are far enough apart from each other that won't be possible, because what happens is every now and then a wife will go, "Got that, honey." And the guys will do that. "You get that?" Okay, so no, the other person will get the point. You don't have to have to rub it in. We'll talk about not doing that, okay? But I'll give you a bit of a brief outline of what we're going to look at. The first thing is the basic differences between the way men and women think, different orientation. Second major idea is the major area is the understanding of love. The men and women understand love differently. We want to talk about that too. And then the third thing is a major view of marriage. Men and women view marriage in different ways, and so they have trouble relating to each other because they see marriage differently. They're expecting different things out of it. They're expecting to put different things into it, and they get confused and hurt and all kinds of things because the other person doesn't see marriage the same way and doesn't relate to it the same way. And then lastly, we'll look at some general principles about what marriage is. The last part's going to be more your general teaching on biblical responsibilities, things like that. What marriage is, what we're supposed to do in marriage, how to take care of problems in marriage, things like that. Now, when we discuss the idea of the differences between the way men and women think, I had to ask this question in thinking this through. Now, are these things basically ontological? That means, are they part of what we are as beings? Or are they cultural? Or could they be a combination of both of those? And the problem with it is that we're not told a lot of things in the Scripture that would give us any indication whether it's strictly ontological or strictly cultural or a combination of both. So most of this has to be by observation. We have to find out strictly, almost entirely, within our own culture. Some of you, of course, tonight will relate differently because you're from different cultures. But pretty much we have to look at it in our own culture to find out. Now, how do men and women think, and what are the differences there? But there are some things that may be, there may be some kind of indication in the Scripture as to why we think the way that we do. There may be some problems over there, huh? Yeah, it's getting to be hay fever time, so for some people. There are some indications in the Scripture that would lead us to think, well, maybe a man thinks this way because, or maybe a woman thinks this way because, although we don't have really clear evidence from the Scripture, we do have some indications at points. I'll bring those up as we go. So we can't make absolute statements out of most of these things. When we get to the end, where we have biblical responsibilities laid out for the husband and wife, you can make absolute statements there. But in things about whether or, you know, how a woman views a relationship and how a man views a relationship, most of that has to be by observation. There's going to be lots of mixture. There's going to be a lot of overlap. And culture obviously has something to do with it. Our training has something to do with it. And I'll bring up points like that as we go. Give you a little example to start off with. I was talking with a woman about her husband, and she told me the way he related to certain issues. And I said, "Was he raised by women?" And she said, I think it was by his aunt and his grandmother. And there was very little male input in his early life. And I could tell by the way he related to things that he was relating from almost a strictly female point of view. And I thought, now isn't that interesting? See? So at least that would work in our culture. I don't know if I could speak about that cross-culturally, except for maybe the Dutch. Okay, so it's going to be mostly from observation. There's going to be a lot of mixture, a lot of overlap, but generally some things are true, and you may find some of these very helpful in understanding yourself and other people. Now, we're going to talk a lot about marriage tonight, so I'll be using examples from married couples and stuff, or from engaged couples, but in understanding men and women generally, it helps in the process of getting married, you know, along the way with fewer bumps. In the process, if you know how another person thinks and how different it is. Well, let's talk about the difference in orientation. I'm going to have to describe things as if I had a blackboard here, because I don't, right? Okay. I normally talk with my hands, so I feel insecure if I don't have a pen or a piece of chalk in my hand. You know, Linus has a security blanket, and I've got my piece of chalk. Yeah. Now, the difference between the way men and women think is very simple, but it's just that we forget it all the time. I forget it frequently, and finally I'm jolted back into reality by something that Carol will say. But there's a very real difference between the way men and women think. And it's not too hard to understand, it's just hard to keep it in mind. If you're a woman, it's hard to keep in mind how men think, and if you're a man, it's hard to keep in mind how women think. Okay? And it goes like this. A man normally thinks of things related to ideas, concepts, and things. His orientation is based around ideas or concepts and things. And a man, this is going to be the horror of all horrors to the ladies in the room, but understand, ladies, this is not wrong, it's just different. A man thinks of a relationship as a thing. A man thinks of a relationship as a thing. Now, it doesn't mean that men can't feel. It doesn't mean that men don't have understandings of relationships. But normally, they think of a relationship as a thing. They will think of something that the woman will relate to as a relational thing. They will relate to as an event. That was something that happened. A husband and wife may go out to dinner. The woman thinks of the relationship aspect of it, and the man thinks of it as a thing. They went out to dinner. This will become clearer as we go. But he does actually think of relationships as things. But when a man relates to something, or when a man relates to the car, to your car, he'll relate to it as a thing. Or when he relates to something such as leadership, he relates to it as an idea. Whereas the woman will normally relate to something like leadership in the body of Christ as relationship. And she will see that aspect of it more clearly than the man will. She'll see that first, and then the man will usually relate to it as an idea or a concept first, and the relationship aspect comes later. And as I give more examples, it'll become a little clearer as we go. So a guy will think of the car as a car, and the events that that have to do with the car are things. Whereas the woman will relate to the car in as much as it relates to her husband. Now, she can think of the car as a thing, but she won't usually think of it in that abstract a form. She will usually think of it in relationship to someone else, even if that happens to be herself. It will be in a relationship context. Okay? Men have a tendency, you've already got the idea for women here, men have a tendency to think in ideas and things, concepts and things, and women have a tendency to think in relationships, and because of that, emotions. I do not believe that the generalization is true that women are generally more emotional than men. I believe it is true that women are more relational than men, and because of that, they respond quickly in emotion to things because they're relational. And sometimes I think they respond emotionally because the men are not sensitive. And they fracture the relationship by something that they say, and then the women become emotional. Well, that's a normal response for someone who is relationally oriented. How can you do such a thing? How can you say such a thing? Mm-hmm. Guy goes, what did I say? What did I do? Mm-hmm. Okay. Now, so men think in things and ideas. Women have a tendency to think in relationships, and because of that, emotions or feelings. Don't let anything eat you over there. Okay. Strange things happening in the corner. Now, could this possibly come in the way that we were created, come from the purpose for creation? Now, man, when he was created to take dominion over the earth. Now, woman was included in that command after she came along. But he was created to take dominion over the earth, and he worked with categories and activities. Man was commanded to name the animals. He had to construct his own language, and he was involved in work. Activities, till the garden, take dominion over the earth. There were things that he had to do. Okay? And then when the woman came along, God said, it is not good for the man to be alone. I will make a helper suitable for him. And when the woman came along, her major purpose in being created was to relate to the man so that he would not be alone. And so could it be that woman was made for relationship? You see? As Paul the Apostle says, the woman, the man was not made for the woman's sake, but woman was made for the man's sake in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Okay? Now, that's nothing demeaning on the part of the women. It simply means that we have different functions. And actually, it's a wonderful position for the women to be in. It says that we can't do without you, ladies. How about that? I was watching a film one time, and this guy said, this man and woman were having a male-female dispute here, you know, which ones were more important. And the woman said, if there weren't any women around, who would sew the buttons on your clothes? And he said, if there weren't any women around, we wouldn't need buttons on our clothes. So I'd like to take a look at that film again and see exactly how they were misunderstanding each other. But anyway, the woman came along to relate to the man, to be a helper. The Bible calls her a helper, suitable to the man or corresponding to the man in order to support the man in his activities. And so I don't think it should surprise us that they have a different orientation. Man came about for one purpose, the woman came about for another. That was to help the man. Okay? Different functions. That does not mean that the woman, we'll talk about that a little bit later when we talk about submission and authority. That does not mean the woman is in any way inferior to, because the Hebrew word corresponding to, a helper corresponding to the man, means equal to on different levels. Okay? So the woman was equal to the man, but she had a different function, and that was to relate to the man so that he wouldn't be alone, and also to help him in his work, because then she was also commanded to take dominion over the earth with him. She was commanded the same thing. I mean, God couldn't have commanded just the man to be fruitful and multiply, could he? Okay? Obviously, that had to be made to both of them, right? And take dominion comes after that. Okay. Now, when you have your daily activities of life, the man will generally relate to them as far as things are concerned. To him, work is a thing that is something that needs to be accomplished. And its relational aspect is usually minimal to him. He may think about how it affects someone else now and then, but usually he will think of it as a thing in itself, and if he thinks of how it affects someone else, he will think of that relationship as a separate thing. This is one thing, the garbage. How it affects my wife is another thing, whether or not it is taken out, you see. And so there's the typical scene where the husband is sitting in the front room. He's got his paper after dinner, and he's reading his newspaper. And the wife is trying to clean up after dinner, you see, being the helper. She's trying to help him in his ministry, whatever that happens to be at the minute, if he's reading the paper. We won't go into that. But he's reading the paper, and she comes in and says, the garbage needs to go out, dear. And he says, yes, dear, as soon as I finish this article. Sticks his head back in the paper. She comes out a few minutes later. The garbage needs to go out, dear. Yes, I heard you the first time, and as soon as I finish this article here, you know, three articles later, he's still reading, and she comes in, you see, and she says, look, she says, I can't finish washing dishes because I can't get anything in the garbage can. Could you take the garbage out? Well, I told you as soon as I finish this article, you know, two or three articles later, he hears this funny sound, and he looks over his paper, and here she is, walking through the front room, dragging the bag of garbage behind her, garbage falling out along the way because it's so full, and he looks up over the paper, and she says, you don't love me anymore. And he's trying to understand exactly what she's saying. It doesn't compute, you see. I didn't take the garbage out, and I don't love her anymore. And it doesn't compute, you see, because she's relating to the garbage as a relationship. And he is relating to the garbage as a thing, you see. Taking out the garbage to the man is a thing. It's an event. It's something you do. You take the garbage out. Whereas to the woman, it's, if he loved me, if he was really concerned about me, he would take the garbage out for me. You see? And, oh yeah, some of the ladies are going, oh, okay. You see that, men? You need to watch what's happening. No elbows now, but you need to watch. Yes, you see? The lady thinks of it as, if he really loved me, he would do this for me. And so how is she thinking of the garbage? As a relationship. You see, and the men scratch their heads. They can't figure out why in the world a woman would think of garbage like that. See, and the ladies can't understand why in the world the guy won't take the garbage out because he loves her. You see, they don't understand why the man's words don't match his actions or his actions don't match his words. See, we'll get into that in a little while when we talk about how women understand love and men understand love. Whew, that's different too. Okay, So I was talking with an engaged guy one time, and I told him the little garbage illustration, and he went, "Oh, the brownies." And I thought, something has happened to him here. So I didn't think he was going insane. I knew something related, and I said, "What about the brownies?" And he said, "I was at somebody's house, and they gave me some brownies, and they gave me two of them, and I ate one, and I brought the other one to my fiance." And he said, "I couldn't believe how jazzed she was." And I said, "Well, that's because she thinks of the brownie in a little different way than you think of it. You thought of a brownie as a square piece of cake that has a particular molecular structure that tastes a particular way when you put it in your mouth. You thought of it as a thing. To her, that meant, I love you, I was thinking about you, I'm concerned about you, see, I took the trouble to bring this to you in my warm little fist, you see." And so, I said, she thought about it a different way. That's why she was so excited about something as small as a brownie. Now see, to him, he couldn't understand why she was so jazzed, but to him it was a thing. To her it was, I love you. You see? Yeah. One of the ladies says, yeah. Okay. And the guys go, what? Okay. Another time I was teaching on this, and a guy looked up from his notes. This is in Omaha, and this guy looked up from his notes and he went, the thank you card. And I knew I'd made another, I'd related here. And this guy was writing thank you cards for something, I think an engagement, something or other. He was writing thank you cards, and his fiance came along and went, you can't write that on a thank you card. And he said, why not? It's thank you, isn't it? And he was writing thank you and signing his name, right? She said, you can't do that with a thank you card. And he said, why not? It works, doesn't it? Hi, did you finish? Oh, you did. Oh, that was quick. Okay, good. She said, you can't do that with a thank you card. He said, why not? I'm just writing thank you and I'm writing my name. She said, but you can't do that with a thank you card. You have to write more than that on the card, you see. Now, that's because a woman thinks of a thank you card as in reference to the relationship with the other person who's receiving the card. And the guy was thinking of the thank you card as a thing, you see, that goes through the mail in a certain fashion, has to put in this size envelope. Thinking of the thank you card as a thing, and you do that because it needs to be done, whereas the girl was thinking of it as a relationship. Or one time I was writing a note, and Carol checked it over after I wrote it, and she said, you can't say that. And I said, why can't I say that? She said, because this note will probably pass to this relative. These other people share their mail around because they want the news from the relatives. This is going to affect this person in this way. It's going to probably get back to the first person you sent it to, and it's going to cause a problem. Now, she had all of that computed as soon as she read that sentence. Click, just like that. Relationship. She had it all figured out, see? I didn't have that kind of thing figured out. I was thinking of the note as a note, you see? That to me was a thing. I was writing a note. I hate to write notes. Okay? But she saw all the ramifications of relationship that were involved. And instantly, I couldn't believe it. Talk about working better than computers. Okay. So we get these situations where men don't really understand what a woman is saying when she says something, because she's relating to it one way, and the man is relating to it another way. Another instance, engaged couple, right, living in community. Guy goes out, ministers all day long on Sunday. Girl spends all afternoon making a cake for him. He comes in, sits down. She comes in, brings in the cake. This is in the dining room. Comes in, brings in the cake. She sits down next to him. He's, of course, forgotten to save her a seat. She sits down after she finally gets a seat, serves the cake to him, serves the cake to him, and oh, I see. I didn't know it. Is Nathan here? Oh, okay. She served the cake to him. He ate a piece of it, and she said, well, what do you think? You know, and any time a woman says something like that about something that she has done, men, you need to go carefully consider how you're going to answer. The heart of the righteous ponders how to answer. And you better ponder at a time like that. And he was talking with somebody else, and he said, well, I've tasted better cake before. And when he told me this, I was sitting on the stairs, and he was standing telling me this, and I said, you didn't. You didn't say that to a woman. And he said, well, yeah, I did. He said, was there something wrong with that? And I said, yes, there was something wrong with that. So here she spends all afternoon making this cake. To her, the cake is a relationship, right? It is not a thing. It is a relationship. It means I love you, I'm concerned about you, I was thinking about you while I made this, you see, or maybe she was praying for him while he was out ministering. It's a relationship. And then what does he do? He says he's tasted better cake before. Well, the girl admitted later, when I talked with her, she said, I threw the recipe away because I've tasted better cake before too. So it wasn't a very good cake, but the point was, that was not the point at all. You see, the point was he should have, even if he didn't like the cake, he could have said, well, it was really sweet of you to spend all afternoon making this cake for me. You see, didn't have to say what the cake tasted like. She didn't even like the cake, so it wasn't the issue. See? And so this guy would tell me these things that he had done, and I'd pull my hair, you know, I'd say, you didn't, you got done. You know, you don't say that to a woman. And so I had a talk, long talk with her in the kitchen one day, because she ran the kitchen in this Christian community, and I had a long talk with him one night, and we tried to get some things straightened out. And then one day, he walked into the kitchen while she was working, and he just blurted out something about the car. And she stood and she looked at him for a moment, and then she threw up her hands and she said, praise the Lord. She said, I understand how you think. You're thinking of the car as a thing. And she was just about to get upset, to become upset because of the way he was relating to the car, see? And then she realized she was thinking of things as far as a relationship went between herself and her fiancé. And he was thinking of it as just a thing. And it helped her to not become upset or hurt when she understood the way he was thinking about the car. You get the idea? Yeah? You didn't follow that? He said something sounded like total thing orientation, was total thing orientation. She was trying to take it as relationship orientation, and it finally dawned on her, he's not thinking about this as far as the relationship between him and me is concerned. And so that's why he said it the way he did. Then she could, it was easier for her not to be hurt because she understood why he said it the way he said it, because he was thinking about it a different way. Okay? Strangled myself in the finger. Okay, so typical scene, girl comes up to guy and goes, you know, girlfriend, guy friend. You know, girl comes up and goes, how about if we go someplace in the car? And he says, well, all the wrong things. He comes out with all the wrong things. Well, I don't have time right now. Or, well, where would we go? Or, we don't have any gas in the car right now. And we don't have any money to get gas right now. And say, all the wrong things. Because he's thinking of getting in the car and going someplace as a thing, which is an event, you see. She's thinking of, I want to be with you. See, that's what she's saying. She's saying, I want to be with you. She did not really say, why don't we go someplace in the car? That's what the words were. Those were the sounds going out into the airwaves, right? But what she was really saying behind all that was, I want to be with you. See? And the smart guy, if he knows that he doesn't have any gas in the car and doesn't have any money, will say something like this. She says, how about if we go somewhere in the car? And he would say something like, yeah, I recognize we haven't spent time together for quite a while. It's been 2 or 3 days since we've had any intimate time together, and we really need to. Right now, we don't have any gas in the car, however, but we could take a walk, or we could go on a bicycle ride together. Maybe we could, you know, walk with a basket someplace and have a little picnic or something. What would you like to do? You see? But guy usually comes out with something like, well, we don't have any gas in the car, or where would we go? You see? And she doesn't care where you're going to go. The thing is, she wants to be with you. The issue is not where you're going to go. That has nothing to do with it. Okay? Unless she walks up and says, how would you like to go somewhere in the car? I've really been wanting to go shopping lately. Then you know she has things on her mind besides being with you. Okay? She has let you know. Okay. Or saving a seat. Saving a seat next to you in the, I found in the dining room or wherever you're sitting, I found out living in community and being married in community how important a half a cushion was in the family room. See, because we didn't have chairs, we had cushions that we sat on the floor. And if I didn't save half a cushion for Carol, I heard about that because that half a cushion was a relationship. It either meant I did or I did not love her, you see. Or when somebody would, I finally had to learn to ask for two of things and be humble about it and just ask. Because people would say, you want a cookie? I say, may I have two, please, so I can have one for my wife? You see? Because if I had a cookie, it didn't make any difference if I ate it before she ever saw it. Because somehow she would find out that I had a cookie and she didn't get one. And she would say, why didn't you bring me a cookie? And I said, well, they only gave me one. Why didn't you bring me half of that cookie? This has happened, folks. Ask my wife if it has happened. Okay. Carol wears red very well. Okay. And so in areas like security, men have a tendency to relate to things like security quite differently than women do. For instance, guy riding along in a car one time, this marriage counselor said, okay, to Carol and me, we were in the back seat. He said, okay, I'm going to say a word, and you tell me the first thing that comes into your mind. And he said, security. And I said, doing the will of God. And Carol said something about being where God wants you to be or doing what God wants you to be or whatever. And the guy's wife said, they've been in YWAM too long. You see, we both related it to doing the will of God as far as security was concerned, or being with God, or doing what God wanted, or something like that. Whereas what happens usually is this. Very often, if men and women, husband and wife, been married for a long time, 30, 40, you know, 50 years, whatever, they will. The guy will say something that has to do with money or things. He'll say house or job, or, you know, the first thing that comes into his mind is his job or whatever, so he's been able to provide for his family, whereas usually the woman will say the husband's name. Usually you say security, and the woman will go Frederick, yeah. Something like that. If her husband's name is Frederick. Mm-hmm. Okay. Now this orientation, this difference in orientation, they're not opposites. They're complementary to each other. Okay. It is a thing orientation or a relationship orientation. Those things are not opposite to each other. We need both of those. Okay. We have to have both of those in order to get along in life. And so there is some of each in us, but the woman has a tendency to lean towards relationship and the man has a tendency to lean towards things and, ideas. Now, they're not opposites, they're complementary. And each one modifies the other. And so in a marriage relationship or in a community relationship where you've got singles, guys and girls living together, there is a complementary give and receive of the difference in orientation between the men and the women in the community, whether married or not, because the women will see things in a different way, and so they bring a different kind of wisdom to a situation than a man will bring to the situation. So they have different orientations, and so they bring different aspects of wisdom, and we need both of those aspects of wisdom to be able to handle things correctly. So they're not opposites, they're complementary, and each one of us can learn from the other. See, I've learned a lot about being relationally oriented from Carol, and she has learned a lot about thing and idea orientation from me. And those are not opposite. We both need to learn from each other, and our lives are enriched as we humble ourselves and say, I need what you have. I need what you have inside you. Okay? I need Carol's relationship orientation. And we were standing in our front room one day, and she saw a guy and a girl walk by. This is in Holland. She saw a guy and a girl walk by. I thought nothing of it. And she said, have you noticed how much time they've spent together lately? And I said, actually, Carol, no. I haven't noticed that they've spent a lot of time together. She said, I'm concerned about it. And Carol can pick up on relationships, good, bad, whatever. She can pick up on that just like that. I don't as quickly, and so I need her. Especially if I have responsibility over some of those people, she can come to me and say, now you remember this person has trouble, and I get this wisdom straight out of my wife's mouth, you know, wisdom from the Lord, and I need that. See? And so we need each other, and we will learn from each other if we'll be humble enough to admit that we need each other. Okay. Now, in relationships, women, this is going to be more towards, more geared to boyfriend, girlfriend, or engaged couples or whatever. Women are usually about 5 jumps ahead of men in relationships, because they're relationship-oriented. They're usually about 5 jumps ahead of men. Men are usually somewhere in the dark, in the dust, way behind, scratching their heads, wondering what's happening in a relationship, whereas a woman knows what's going on. See? And this causes problems, because a man can very easily, unknowingly, lead a woman on in a relationship, because he doesn't understand what he's communicating to the woman. Right? He doesn't understand what he's communicating. A guy came to me one time and he said, I said, how much time have you spent with this girl? And he said, well, let's see. He said, I prayed together with her once. We went out to get French fries. That's a common thing in Holland. Went out to get French fries once. And we took a walk together through the heather fields one time. And I said, are you planning on marrying her? It just gave me this strange look, and he said, what do you mean, marry her? And I said, well, she's probably wondering whether or not you're thinking about it, if you've spent time with her like that. You've prayed with her alone. You've spent time with her alone. You think of that as prayer together. She thinks of it as he was with me. He wanted to pray with me alone. And you took her out to get French fries, and you thought of the French fries as little pieces of potato that had been boiled in oil, and they tasted a certain way, and you didn't know if you wanted mayonnaise or whatever with it. They serve mayonnaise with them there. Oh, it's really nice. It's mayonnaise, but it's not like our mayonnaise. It's got other things in it. It's more like tartar sauce or something like that. Anyway, it's a little spicier. But anyway, so you thought of it as potatoes, and she thought of it as he went out to have French fries with me. Now, why did he pick me? You see? And then you went on a walk with her alone in the heather fields. And she thought, why did he want to be with me? And some of these guys, I've actually told them, you go back and you ask her what she's thinking in regard to that. And they've come back and said, she actually had thought about whether or not I wanted to marry her. And I said, well, I told you. See? Because the women are relationally oriented. And so lots of times what will happen is guys will lead girls on and they don't know what they're doing. And I think that's why, possibly, women are either hurt more easily or they show it more easily, because they're relationally oriented. Okay? When I'm out in the street and I've got a guy and a girl who are living together and they're not married, and I want to talk about the sin of fornication, I talk to the woman. I said, have you ever had any relationships with guys before? Yeah. Sexual relationships with guys before? Yeah. Did it hurt when you broke up? Well, of course it hurt. You see? Now, if I'd asked the guy that, have you ever had any relationships with girls? Yeah. Ever broken up with a girl before? Yeah. Had lots of girlfriends before. Well, did that hurt? Yeah. You see? Because he will not experience the hurt as quickly because he's not relationally oriented. He thinks of those relationships as things that were made and broken. See? Whereas I know that if I get the girl first, if I talk to the girl first, she'll go, yeah, it hurts. And then, is her boyfriend going to disagree with her in public? I mean, he's on the spot there. He says, yeah, see, it's not good for you to be involved in fornication. What can the guy say? He's got to disagree with his girlfriend then, see, and say she's a liar. And so, talk to the girl first. Okay, so women are hurt more easily, either that or they just show it more quickly. And men can do all kinds of crazy things to women. They don't know that they're even doing it. And so, it's important for men to keep in mind that what they do is going to be related to relationally by the woman, rather than as an event or a thing or a concept or whatever. The women are going to relate to it in a different way. Now, another difference here is that women have a tendency to think, now this is just a tendency, it depends on the woman and how she was raised and her training and stuff, but the woman has a tendency to think in particulars. The man has a tendency to think in more general categories. It's not that one is right and the other is wrong, they're just different. And actually, they're different aspects of wisdom that we need. Men have a tendency to think in general categories. Now, as I say, training can make a difference here. Carol has been trained in philosophy. She has a degree in philosophy. And because of her training, sometimes I have trouble getting her to be specific. Say, can you stop speaking on a presuppositional level and give me some, you know, flesh this out for me in particulars, would you? Now, she's also very good at relating particulars, much better than I am. And yet sometimes, because of her training, she'll relate on a presuppositional level and I have to get her down to the particulars. Or, for instance, man and woman take two other couples out and they go out to dinner. This is 5 months ago, right? And the woman says, do you remember when we went out with so-and-so to dinner? He says, yeah. He said, it was, as I remember, it was, the steak was really too expensive. Was it steak that we had? Yeah, she says, yeah, it was steak. And he says, I believe it was a bit too expensive. And, well, it was sort of a good time, though, nonetheless. She says, yeah. She said, it was a nice place, too. And he said, oh, I don't remember that. She said, yeah, well, it had this kind of tablecloth and this kind of wallpaper. And the carpet was like this, although it was a bit worn by our table. And I remember that the fork that I got was a bit dirty, and I had to ask for another one. And he's going, she remembers all this? You know? And all he remembers was the general atmosphere, that the steak was too tough or something, and it cost too much, you see? And that they, quote, had a nice time, see? But she remembers what the wallpaper was like, what the table was like, see? And very often the woman will relate that way in the particulars of the things. Now, that is why, men, we need to learn about that, that women think in particulars, and they're concerned about them, you see? We're concerned about general atmosphere very often, but the woman is going to be concerned about the particulars. That's why it's important if you're going to fix dinner for your wife, which I think men should do more often than they do. If you're going to fix dinner for your wife, that you need to think about putting the candle on the table. You need to think about whether or not you're going to have fresh-cut flowers on the table, whether you're going to have paper plates or stoneware. Okay? I suggest stoneware, man. Paper plates may be more convenient, but it certainly isn't romantic. Okay. No, he says. What's that? About having a design on the paper plate? It won't help. You're right. Okay, so women have a tendency to think in particulars and men in general categories. Now, there's another interesting thing that you'll find when men and women try to work together, and that is that women, you'll have to listen for this one because you maybe have never noticed this before, women have a tendency to speak in verbs. The action is what is important to them. Men have a tendency to think in nouns and to speak in nouns. The thing, because they're thing-oriented, the thing is what is important. When I was working in the kitchen here, which I ran the kitchen for 3 months, when I was standing in the kitchen one day, this girl picked up this heavy box of rotten produce, and she needed to go out the door. And so she said, standing there with this dripping rotten stuff in her hand, she said, "Could you help me, please?" And I looked at her, and I didn't know what in the world she wanted. She said, "Can you help me, please?" And I said, "Help you do what?" And I didn't know if she wanted me to take the box or throw the box or knock her over on the floor. I don't know what she wanted me to do. She said, can you help me? I said, "Do what?" And she said, "Could you open the door for me?" And I said, "Well, if you had simply said door, I would have known what you meant." And so she went out. She took the box out. I went back to work. A little while later, she came in, picked up the other box, and she looked at me and said, "Door!" And I knew immediately what she wanted, you see. And it is amazing, you listen to two women telling each other how to put things away in the kitchen, and they can do it without mentioning nouns or places. Somehow, I think it's intuitively, somehow they can tell each other where things go without really saying where they are. You ask a guy where something goes, and he'll say, "Third shelf over, second thing down, under the orange plates, between that and, you know," and he'll give you all the nouns that relate to where that thing goes, you see. But he won't tell you what to do with it. He won't give you the verb. He'll just tell you all the nouns that are involved. Okay. So you listen for that sometime. You'll notice that women have a tendency to speak in verbs. And men have a tendency to speak in nouns. And sometimes they miscommunicate with each other because the woman will be talking about the action and the man will be talking about the thing and they can't get it together. Okay? And so if you understand that, then the men can say, "And what action is she concerned about? And why is she concerned about it? Because of a relational orientation. How does it affect her?" No, see. Then that way you can at least start to communicate with each other. Okay, so men and women are thing. A man is thing and idea oriented. A woman is relationship oriented. And along with that, emotions. And then you've got women think in particulars. Men think in general categories. This is just, of course, these are not absolutes. They're just generalizations. And there's a lot of overlap here. And then women have a tendency to speak in verbs, and men have a tendency to speak in nouns. Now, let's go on and talk about the difference in the way men and women understand love. Difference in the way that men and women understand love. Now, they both understand it in the same way, but they understand it the opposite way around. That is, that men think of love in terms of concepts, and words, and then actions. But concepts and words are foremost in the man's mind. He understands love from another person in concepts and words. When I was looking at my notes this afternoon, I was thinking back about the different times that we have heard men, and I notice it's mostly men, in our community here, talk about encouraging other people. And what do they almost always say you should do to encourage somebody else? Tell them. Say something. Words, right? Now, I wish we'd have more women talking about how to encourage someone else, because we would hear the other side of the story, which is by doing things for other people. Okay? How do women, see, women think a completely different way about what it means to encourage someone else. Okay? So when the husband thinks about what is encouraging to him, it's usually what other people speak to him about his qualities. Whereas with a woman, it is usually, if her husband is encouraging her, it's how he helps her with the housework or taking care of the kids. Or, see? Encouragement, usually, no poking. That wasn't your elbow, but that was your toe. Stop that. Okay? But have you ever noticed that? You think back at the times when men have said we need to encourage one another. What's it usually composed of? Words. Speaking out the nice qualities of other people. Now, if we heard Julie Dawson talk to us about how to encourage other people, I bet it would sound quite different from the way John would describe it, you see, because of the difference in orientation. They think of love differently. Women have a tendency to get the actions first and then the words and the concepts. Now, they want to hear the words, too. My wife could hear me say, I love you, every half hour on the half hour, or 15 minutes, yes, she's nodding her head, every 15 minutes, and she would never grow tired of it. But if my actions did not back up my words wouldn't mean anything to her. Yes? Yeah? You understand? Mm-hmm. Well, of course you understand, you're a woman. Okay. Okay, because I was speaking relationally. Now, so then women have a tendency to work on the basis of actions. They want to see it. It's like the scene in Fiddler on the Roof where the guy says, do you love me? And she says, I wash your clothes for you, don't I? And he says, yes, but do you love me? Well, I've raised your kids for you, haven't I? Yes, but do you love me? See? She understood love in one way. That was actions. If I love him, this is what I do for him. He understood love in a different way. He wanted to hear her say that, and he wanted to hear her speak about his qualities as a person. You see? And very often, we completely miss each other in the area of love. And this doesn't have to do with just married couples. Because in showing love to one another as singles in the community, it's important for guys to remember that girls understand love in action first. And after that, in the words and concepts. They have both, but it's the other way around. Whereas the guys need to hear things from the girls, and the girls need to keep that in mind. You can do all kinds of things for the guys, ladies, to encourage them, but if you never talk to them, and speak out the qualities that you see in them that you admire, there's going to be a great gap in your ability to encourage the guys. Okay, now, I'm going to take some steps here, and you follow me carefully with your mind. We usually love other people as we need to be loved. We usually love other people the way we need to be loved because that's the way we understand love. Guys will usually speak to women to encourage them. Now, women need to hear that, but they're really much more concerned about actions. So a guy can say, I love you, all he wants, and say all kinds of wonderful things to this woman about how beautiful she is and how he likes the way she has her clothes and I like the way you walk and you're so precious to me and so forth. And she'll, and in the back of her mind, she's going, then why doesn't he help me with the dishes? If he loves me so much, why doesn't he take the garbage out? If he loves me so much, why doesn't he help me raise the kids? Okay. It's quiet. Okay. So we usually love other people the way we need to be loved. That is, women will usually do things for men, and men will usually speak to women. Now, we need to smarten up, folks, and start loving other people the way they understand love, the way they need to be loved. That is, a guy needs to learn to do things for a woman to show his love and appreciation for her, and the woman needs to learn to speak out the qualities of the man. Carol is very good in this area. As a matter of fact, she did it just today. She will notice something about me that she appreciates, and then she'll speak it to me, a quality or the way I counseled someone, or the wisdom, or involving God's principles in my counseling, or something like that. And the reason I can think of those things, those are the kind of things that have really encouraged me. And she will hear me do something that she recognizes as good, and then she'll speak that out to me, and that encourages me. And so, men need to hear love in words and in concepts, and they also need to see it in action, but that's secondary to the man, whereas it's primary to the woman. So, we should love other people as they need to be loved rather than the way we need to be loved. Now that takes some work because we don't automatically think about the other person's needs if the other person is the opposite sex. We don't automatically think about what that person needs because we're so used to thinking the way we think. Okay? So when you get married, you have to think, now she thinks a different way. She thinks of love in action. What can I do to show my love to her? You get the idea? I was talking to a guy one time, and he said, oh, that's why she sends me all those things. And I said, I didn't know who he was talking about. Or what. His girlfriend, so he would send letters to her, and she would send letters back, and he'd get rocks and feathers and pieces of wood and things like that in the, you know, pieces of cloth and stuff like that in this, in his letters when he got them back. And they would be things that had to do with their relationship together. You know, the feather was from the time they were walking on the beach and she found this particular feather and she'd sent it to him in the mail, see? And I said, can't you take a hint? He said, well, what do you mean? I said, send her some things back. And see, it doesn't fit in the guy's head. It just doesn't fit. Well, that's okay. We don't just automatically think like that. We have to learn that. And that is, the girl needs to see his love acted out that way. She's loving him the way she needs it, not the way he needs it. See? And so he needs to take the hint and go, oh, well, maybe I should start loving her the way she needs to be loved. Now, we're going to get a little more complicated here. You ready? Are you ready? When the other person starts to love you the way they need to be loved, it usually indicates that you are not loving them the way they need to be loved. Now, my grammar was bad, but you understand. When I say person, it should have been he needs to be loved, but I wanted to make it general. Do you understand? If I start to love Carol by speaking out all kinds of things to her, it's usually because she's not speaking them to me. And if she starts to love me by doing all kinds of things for me, it usually indicates I'm not doing enough for her. You got that? Interesting little twist. You don't quite have it yet, huh? See, if a woman starts to love a man the way she needs to be loved, it usually indicates that he is not loving her the way she needs to be loved, and she's feeling a need there to be loved. And so she starts loving in return, but she'll love the way she needs to be loved rather than the way he does. And I find that when I am doing things for Carol to show my love to her, she talks to me. But when she starts doing things for me, I take that as a bad sign. Because it usually indicates that I've been slack on doing things to show my love to her. Now, as I said, we both need both, but we need them in different proportions. We need it different ways around. And so there was a girl at the castle in Germany who was depressed. I mean, she wasn't going to go out and commit suicide or anything right away, but she was a bit down one day. And all these guys were trying to encourage her. And they would come up to her and speak things to her. They told her what talent she had in this area. And they were speaking all these wonderful qualities, which was nice, but it wasn't doing any good. And so I saw this happen at the desk. She was working behind the desk, and lots of opportunity for guys to talk to her. And so I watched this for a while, and I went outside to have my devotion. I was out having my devotions, and I prayed for the girl. And then as I was walking along, I found this feather. So I took this feather. I thought, So I took it back to her, and I said, I was out walking. I was having my devotions, and I was praying for you, was thinking about you and that you're a bit down and stuff, and was concerned about you. And I found this feather. And see the little fluffy part around the bottom? Some feathers have a little fluffy part, the down at the bottom. To see the little fluffy part, I said, that sort of reminds me of you in the way that you are. Just the lightness of your personality and the way you relate to other people and the way, And I was doing basically the same thing that some of the guys were doing, but I related it to a physical object. And I said, here, I want you to have that because that reminds me of you. Brightened her day. But she had that little thing then. Now, was the feather really all that important? Well, the feather in itself wasn't important to her. It was that I thought about her, I was praying for her, and she had this tangible thing that said after I walked away, she didn't just have words and concepts. See? She had this tangible thing that said, well, Mike was thinking about me and he was praying for it, something she could look at. I had done something. See? And that's why, guys, girls really do appreciate it when you find a few wildflowers and put them in a vase and bring them to them because you have done something for them. And guys very often cannot understand why it will excite a woman so much to do something like that. But you see, Carol has brought me flowers, wildflowers in a vase before, and I appreciated it, but I wasn't very jazzed. I mean, I just... I said thank you. I appreciate the love that shows. Now, the thing is, we can't, it doesn't fit in your head. You just have to learn that that's the way it is and work on it. And eventually, slowly, you will change so that it becomes more natural for you. But you just have to learn what to do. Now, there are two things to do. First of all, that is, learn to show love to the other person the way the other person needs to see it. And the second thing is, learn to receive love from the other person the way the other person shows it. The other person may not always love you the way you need to be loved, But you need to appreciate the love that the person shows, even if it wasn't what you needed. In other words, if Carol does something for me, such as give me the flowers, which she did one time in Holland, she walked into my, I can still remember that, she walked in into my office when I was studying, and she put a little vase down, and she said, I was out, saw wildflowers, brought you some wildflowers. And so the thing was, what I needed to do was, even though that didn't jazz me, I needed to appreciate that she was thinking about me and that she was showing love to me. So I said, "Thank you. I appreciate the love that this shows, that you love me." See? And so it might not be the kind of love that you need, but you need to learn to appreciate it for the way the person is showing it. The person is showing love the way the person understands it. You get the idea? Otherwise, if the person shows love over and over and over again, even if the person's doing it the wrong way, we still need to show appreciation for that. Otherwise, the person will become frustrated and stop. Mm-hmm. Well, he never says anything when I do anything for him, so why should I do anything for him? Mm-hmm. It can very easily happen in a woman's heart if she becomes bitter. Okay, so we have an understanding in the difference of love. Let me go through it once more. Men understand love in concepts and words and then in actions. Women have a tendency to understand love in actions and then in concepts and words, although we both use both. Now, we usually love other people the way we need to be loved. We should love other people the way they need to be loved. And when we are loved by someone the way the other person needs to be loved, it usually indicates that we are not loving the person the way that person needs to be loved. You get the idea? Usually the first time we go through that, it's a bit of a twisted logic for people. But see, if Carol tries to love me the way she needs to be loved, it usually indicates I am not meeting her need for love by doing the things that would show I love you. Hmm? Yes? No? Get the idea? Okay. Now, let's talk about the difference in the view of marriage. Difference in the view of marriage. Men and women view marriage differently. Never noticed that? Yes. Okay, the married people all went, mm-hmm. Okay. They view marriage differently. And I think this is because of the way they were created. Man was made first. Man was made first. Gary, may we help you? Oh, come on in. Men and women view marriage differently. Now, the man was created first. The man was created first. And then the woman came along afterwards. And the woman came along with a special goal in mind, and that was, the purpose that God had in mind was that the man should have a helper that was corresponding to him so that he would not be alone. It is not good for the man to be alone, he said. Therefore, when man came into existence, he basically came into existence with things, with his whole life in front of him, but only as his life. It was his life. There were the animals, there was his command to take dominion over the world, that was there in front of him. When the woman came into existence, okay, be disciplined with your minds, please. When the woman came into existence, she came into existence for the man's sake, as it says in 1 Corinthians 11. The woman was made for the man's sake, okay? So when she came into existence with something in mind, and that was the man. She was made for that. And I think that's why they're relationally oriented, too. So when a man and a woman get married, it usually looks like this. The man looks at his life like this. My life. The whole horizon is filled with his life. And then there are things related to, now don't die at this, ladies, but there are things related to his life. There's my newspaper in relationship to my life. There's my job in relationship to my life. There's my food in relationship to my life. There are my clothes in relationship to my life. There's my wife in relationship to my life. You see? There is my my car in relationship to my wife, life. Excuse me. Okay? So, that was maybe a Freudian slip there, but the idea is that the man thinks of his wife, don't die, ladies, as part of his life. Different, but not wrong. You have to remember that in cultural differences, and it's male-female differences is the same thing. Different, but not wrong. Okay, the man has a tendency to think of his wife as part of his life. The woman has a tendency when she's moving towards marriage or is married, she has a tendency to think of it like this. The horizon looks like this. My husband. Okay? And then it's my paper, newspaper in relationship to my husband. See how it's going to affect my husband. See? You might not have thought of that before, ladies, but it's true. And it's my food in relationship to my husband, my clothes in relationship to my husband, the kids in relationship to my husband, the car in relationship to my husband. It's all related to the backdrop of my husband. And so to the woman, her husband dominates the horizon. To the man, his life dominates the horizon. This is why a woman can start talking in the we form before they're even married. We will be doing this. We will be doing that, you see. The man takes 3 years after he's married. He still slips up and says I sometimes, you see, because he relates to his life as my life, and his wife comes in as part of his life, just as Eve came into Adam's life after he already existed. You see? She was one of the things. She was part of the categories. Whereas when she came into existence, it was for the man. You get the difference? And so I just couldn't understand for a while why it was so important that I went with Carol every time she wanted to look at a dress pattern. Okay? Now, I like Carol's style. I like her color. She's conservative. She wants to dress modestly. I like everything about the way Carol dresses. See? I totally trust her to go out and buy the right thing, and it would look wonderful. She knows I don't particularly like really low-cut and especially low-cut square dress lines, but she doesn't, you know, she doesn't get things like that. So, we would go out, and when we lived in Europe, we didn't have a lot of money to buy clothes because clothes were very expensive, and so she would sew a lot of her clothes. But when we were in the States getting patterns and material and stuff to take back with us to Holland, I would have to go with her, and I would get a headache every time. And that was because she would have, she'd say, let me look at the book here, and you come back in a minute, and I'd go browse and look at the crochet thread and the yarn and the other things in the fabric store. And then I'd come back, and she'd have all 10 fingers and thumbs stuck in the book. And she would go, do you like this one or that one better? Because we can only get one, see? And I'd go, I think I like the second one better. Okay? She'd take the second one and compare it with the third. She'd go, do you like this one or that one better? And I said, I think I still like the second one better. Then she'd take the third one and compare it with the first one. And I didn't know. I didn't know that we were going to go into an algebraic equation over this, you see? She'd go, do you like this one or that one? I said, I don't like either one of those. I like the second one. She'd go, well, do you like the second one or this one? And she'd go to the fourth. You know, then she'd take all the combinations in between. She'd go the third to the second, the third to the fourth to the first. And I'm going, I don't believe this. And at the end of the time, I'd have this splitting headache, but finally she'd have a dress pattern that we'd both like, you know? What was really bad was after we'd gone through all that, and then she'd make it, and she didn't think it looked good on her. Hmm? I'd have to convince her, no, it does look good. Looks okay. Mm-hmm. I want to go back and do that again. Okay. So, anyway, we would go through all of this, and I didn't realize why this was so important until she sat down and explained it to me one day. She said, look, so she had a perfectly logical reason for this. Men may think that women are illogical, but they are not. They simply follow a different form of logic than men do. Okay? It's a relationally oriented logic rather than a thing and idea oriented logic. Okay? It goes like this. She said, the way I look is a reflection upon you and your ministry. And if I look shoddy, people will think that about your ministry because they will think, why doesn't he straighten his wife out? Why doesn't she at least wear why are her clothes together? You see? Because they will look upon you as being responsible in this situation. And so the way I am dressed is a reflection upon your ministry, and so it is important for me to get the right dress, and you have to approve of it because it's a reflection on you and your ministry. Now, it makes sense when you put it like that, isn't it? See? Now, when we first got married, we didn't have a lot of money. At times, we still don't. But when we first got married, we were really out of it as far as money was concerned. We had to pray in all the money for our wedding, and it came in 2 days before, and it was a hectic 2 days. Woo. But somebody's still working on it over there in the corner. So when we first got married, Carol kept insisting that we get a matching tea set. And after a while, there were all these things that she wanted. She wanted plastic tubs to wash the dishes in. upstairs so she wouldn't have to take them down to the no elbows down to the community kitchen. She wanted a matching tea set. She wanted a matching spoon. She wanted these things to match. And I kept going, why? We've got cups. We've got spoons, you know. And so finally she had to sit me down. She had to teach me. See, I thought I had married a materialist. You see? I've got this woman who is selfish. She's materialistically oriented. She really needs the work of God in her life. See? And that was the way I was relating to her, because I didn't understand what she was on about with all this these things that she wanted. She wanted all these things all of a sudden. And she finally explained it to me one day. She said, look, when you bring people into our front room to counsel them, which I didn't have an office there either, still use my front room as I do here. When she said, when you bring people into the front room, she said, the atmosphere in which the person enters into at that time is very important for how they feel about you and your counseling. And she said, and if I have cups that don't match and spoons that don't match and the teapot doesn't match the cups, it's a disorderly atmosphere. It's going to make them feel uneasy, and it's going to be harder for you to perform your ministry. She said, I'm only trying to help you with your ministry. Okay? Now, I related the teacups as things to money, as things. We don't have the money to get the things. She related the teacups not to money, but to my ministry. And her responsibility was to help me with my ministry. And if she needed teacups to help me with my ministry, she had to ask. We need to get matching teacups. You get the idea? And men can misunderstand their wives like that and not understand why they want all these things for the house, thinking they've married... I married a materialist. You could write a book on it, you know. They could think that they married a materialist. Well, all it is that she's really trying to help you with your ministry. Okay? They're logical, but it's a different kind of logic. It's relationally oriented. But what she's doing is seeing my husband, and it's the teacups in relationship to my husband. See? It's not relationship to herself. It's relationship to her husband, trying to help her husband. Okay, so what the man needs to do then is, well, let's take it the other way around first. The woman needs to understand the man will not always think in the we form, because that's not natural for him. He has to learn to do that. The woman is more geared to thinking in the we form. And so he may make a dinner engagement and not consult you at all, because he didn't think about you at that time. See, one of the things that when you're first married is really difficult is that the guy will go away and work all day, and the end of the day he comes home and she goes, hi honey, were you thinking about me today? And he didn't think about her once during the day. And since he's a Christian and he has to be honest, he has to say, well, actually, no. You know, he knows what's going to happen, but he knows he's got to say it honestly. No, I didn't think about you. But see, the woman doesn't understand that. And that was because the man, in thinking of his wife as part of his life, isn't necessarily going to think about her, especially if he's busy during the day. Now, as the marriage grows on, the man will tend to think about his wife more and more. But it's not the natural thing for the man to do automatically. The woman, however, is thinking about her husband pretty much all day long, because she's relating things to her husband all day. Everything, she said. One of the ladies says, everything. See, I can only have a lady confirm things like that. The woman is relating things to her husband, and so when he gets home, she's thought about him all day long. And so she expects he will do the same thing, and it doesn't happen that way, ladies. So the ladies need to understand the man will not always think that way about the woman, and then the man needs to learn to help the woman fulfill her responsibility to him. When she needs things, he needs to learn to think in the we form, speak in the we form, think about his wife in relationship to other things. That's something the man has to work on doing so he doesn't hurt his wife. And the woman needs to learn, the man will not always think of me, and that's not wrong, it's just different. And he'll grow, he'll change, just like I'll grow and I'll change. Same way I will grow and I'll change. Okay, now, when people, this is still related to this, because the woman relates to the man almost in totality, when a guy and a girl are about to get married, I'm going to explain the phenomenon of cold feet to you. Why guys will get cold feet just before they're going to get married and don't want to get married. It's like this. Well, sometimes girls get cold feet, but I think for completely different reasons. What will happen is, as the guy and the girl move towards the time of getting married, a natural and proper phenomenon takes place. The woman starts to become more and more dependent on the man. And that's proper, and it's normal. Okay? The guy begins to feel the pressure of that dependence upon him, And even in Christian circles, the guy can begin to think, well, that he's taken the place of God in the woman's life. That is very unlikely if she's a stable Christian woman that that has happened. But a natural thing has happened, and that is the woman has started to place some of her dependence on the man, a great deal of it. Doesn't mean she's putting the man first, but it is proper for her to start looking towards the husband and relating to him as his helper. And so when she starts to become dependent on him, he starts to feel this as an emotional weight, because suddenly the responsibility begins to hit him. I'm going to be responsible for another person's life. You see? Big responsibility. A lot of ladies complain about the idea of having to submit to their husbands. Well, would you rather switch places and have to love your husband like Christ loved the church? You see? Now that's the responsibility the man has. It's not an easy one, to love your wife like Christ loved the church. Still trying to... Even in our vows, I said, I will try to love you as Christ has loved the church. I did not say I would, because I knew I'd break that as soon as I turned around, you see. So I said that I would try to love you like Christ loved the church. Still trying. Getting any better at it, dear? Okay. Give me another 10 years. Okay? Yeah. Thanks. Okay, so the man then can all of a sudden feel suffocated emotionally by the woman. And so the man feels this dependence coming upon him from the woman, and the guy will go, wait a second, I don't know if I'm going to be able to handle this. And so the guy will get cold feet and back out at the last minute. And very often, men feel emotionally suffocated by the woman. And, well, guys, there's a way to be free from that. I mean, it still can continue after you're married, that the man can feel emotionally suffocated by the woman till he gets used to that. But there is a way to get through that. And I was so glad that the Lord pointed this out to me, that you can feel as if you're so emotionally suffocated that you are going to die, and that is exactly the way to get through it. Die. Yeah. That's the way to get through it, guys. We have to die. Now, in my life, it actually took a revelation from God, a vision from God, to learn this and to settle down into the whole reality of what had happened to me when I got married, when I said, I do. Okay? A lot changes with those two words. So what happened to me was I was feeling, this was shortly after Carol and I were married, I was feeling emotionally suffocated by Carol, and I was having struggles with the whole idea of being responsible for another person's life. And we were having some real struggles emotionally. I mean, a lot of people have a wonderful first year, and then they have the adjustment the second year. I think we had everything in the first year, and we're so glad the first year is over with. You know, people say, how many years have you been married? 10, 9 of them happily. The first one, all we did was find out how selfish we were and how much we needed to humble ourselves and die. That's what we did the first year. Okay? Okay, well, you have to go through that process sometime or another. We just happened to go through it in the first year. And one day when it was particularly bad, I went into my bedroom, I went into our bedroom, and I got down by our bed. See, 10 years it's been, 10 years. Went into our bedroom, got down by our bed, and I said, God, he knew exactly how I felt, so I just said, God, I feel as if I am being suffocated, and I need some answers. And there was a slight pause while my heart became still, and God said, come with me. And I didn't have any idea what he meant by come with me, but I knew I could trust him. So I just relaxed and said, okay, and just like that, in the Garden of Gethsemane, watching Jesus as he prayed. And Jesus said, get the point? And I said, yeah. What he said, all in a flash, was, I was suffocated for you by your needs, by your sin. I was suffocated by you, and I did it, didn't I? I died for you, didn't I? And I said, yes. And he said, then do it for her. You're not doing anything I haven't already done. I know what it's like. And it was a completely different ball game then, to lay down my life for my wife, see, which the Bible says we have to do as men, lay down our lives for our wives. And I said, well, God, Jesus, at least you got an angel to strengthen you when you were in the garden. It says that in one of the Gospels. And that's probably, I've seen angels before, but that was one time that I felt an angel without seeing it. And there was an angel there to strengthen me during that. And but it's still, that doesn't mean, see, the practical outworking of that was still hard. It's still laying down your life for your wife. And that means things like you might be in the middle of a very absorbing article in Time magazine, and your wife says, can you take the garbage out, please? Well, you put down the Time magazine, and you go take the garbage out. It has to be fleshed out in practical practical ways of dying, but the principle is still the same. You have to die. Okay? So the woman has her own way of dying for her husband. Okay? Ladies don't get out of it. And so how to be free? Die, guys. And after a while, they can actually... you can actually enjoy serving your wife and laying down your life for your wife. Okay, let's go on. The woman needs to learn not to be hurt by the man's way of thinking, because he's not going to be thinking about her all the time. Now, I'm going to get into, for a few brief moments, get into the touchy area of sex and the way that men and women relate to sex differently. And that's because of the difference in orientation and the way they understand love differently, they'll relate to sex differently. Now, this is important for everybody here, married or single, because those of you who may get married someday, which will be most of the single, I think it's the exception that God calls people to be single the rest of their life. And so since we're going to relate to you, you need to listen to this, because it will be important for you later to remember this. Guys, because of their thing and idea orientation, have a tendency to relate to sex in a linear fashion. Okay? I get up in the morning, and I have granola for breakfast. He's into health food, see? Get up in the morning, that's instead of Cheerios. Get up in the morning, and I have granola for breakfast. I kiss my wife goodbye. I go out the door and go to work. I work for a while. I have my morning coffee break. I work for a while again. I have lunch. During lunch, I call my wife. If I'm a good husband, I call my wife on the phone to say, hi, I've been thinking about you. I love you. And is there anything you need from the store? Yes, please bring a loaf of bread home. Okay. And then I work during the afternoon. I have my afternoon coffee break. I have the rest of my work. I drive home. I pick up the bread on the way home, if I remember. I pick up the bread on the way home, and I better remember. I walk in the door. I kiss my wife. I eat dinner. I read the evening newspaper. You know, play with the kids for a while. My wife and I go to bed. We have sex. I get up in the morning, and I eat granola, and I kiss my wife goodbye, and I go to work. And I see, it's sort of like that. It's an event. It's a thing that happens in a man's life. Now, the relationship is important to the man, but a man very often thinks of sex as a thing, as an event. A relational event, yes, but an event. See? And so he thinks of it in this fashion, whereas the woman has a tendency to think of it like this. Completely different orientation. To the woman, it is the entire atmosphere of the thing that is important, rather than the event itself. Okay, now a woman really doesn't understand sex apart from love. She needs to know that she is being loved in order to understand having sex with someone. Why in the world, the wife thinks, does my husband want to have sex with me when he didn't say thank you for my making breakfast, he didn't remember the bread on the way home, didn't think about me all day long, he griped over the dinner because he thought it was a little bit too burnt, he didn't want to play with the kids, stuck his nose in his workshop, and didn't come out to see me until it was time to go to bed. And he wants to have sex with me? You've got to be kidding. You see? She doesn't comprehend sex in any other context than a loving relationship. See? It's incomprehensible to her. And that's why girls that get into a thing of having sex with men without the relationship that goes along with that are so extremely hurt and damaged by that. You see? Because they're giving themselves something they know they shouldn't be doing. Because if there's no relationship there, see, that's why totally committed relationship for the rest of your life makes so much sense. Because it's only in that context that both people can entirely enjoy themselves. Only in that context. And the woman just doesn't understand sex with a man if, well, is he going to be here tomorrow or not? You know, is he going to be around to care tomorrow? What's he going to think of me tomorrow? If she's got that on her mind, she can't even really give herself in sexual relationship because emotionally she's not going to relax. That's it. Okay? So the guy thinks of it as an event, you know, like eating granola, although I wouldn't want to compare the two. Mark Twain made some interesting comparisons along that line, which I won't state. Yeah, so Carol says, no, don't say it. You can ask about that later if you want privately. We don't want to immortalize it on tape. You can read it in Mark Twain's book, though. The man thinks of it as an event whereas the woman thinks of it as a whole atmosphere. Now, the important part of this, guys, is that you need to provide the environment in which the woman can understand the sexual relationship. And that is, if you're not living a life of loving your wife and caring for her, being concerned about her needs, serving her, doing things for her to show your love for her, then you should be able to, if you're not doing that, you should understand why she has a bit of a problem having sex with you. Because she just doesn't understand sex apart from love. See? Carol came to me, and I think we were married about 3 months, and she said, one of the things that has shaken me the most severely, but also helped me the most in our relationship, and that was one day she said to me, Michael, she said, you know something? You're a wonderful sex partner. And I said, thank you. She said, but you're a horrible husband. And I thought, uh-oh, I knew I was in deep trouble, you see. And so from that time on, you know, I took that to heart. I didn't freak out or anything, but I took it to heart, and I went away, prayed about it, and God said, that's right. You know, and she can't understand sex with you if you're not providing a loving, caring environment in which to understand it. And so I came back to her and said, you're right, and I need to work on being the kind of husband that I need to be so that you can understand having sex with me. Okay, and so the woman wants to see love lived out. Okay, so then here's another interesting aspect, which you will notice in, we'll talk about the ladies now for a while, and talk a little bit to them, and the men will understand some things here. Women relate to men, especially in marriage, the woman relates to the man in totality. Therefore, she uses words that go along with the feelings. And she'll use words like always and never. You're always, listen, you're always saying things to me like that. Why do you always criticize me like that? You never say anything nice about me. You never help me. You never encourage me. See? Now, and anymore is also another word that's used. You don't love me anymore. You know? Another word, in totality. But that's because the woman relates to the man as the totality of the marriage. And so when the man does something that shakes the woman, it shakes the whole relationship. Right? And it doesn't matter if they've just had 3 days of wonderful love and giving and receiving and so forth. You can have 3 days of it, and the guy can say one thing that's wrong, and it shakes the whole thing. See? And that's because the woman relates to the man in such totality, and the man needs to understand that, why she says things like that. And when a woman starts giving off words like that, man, you need to remember something's going on here. I've touched her security in some way. It's the woman's security can be shaken very easily by the man, you see, because she relates to him in such totality. So the man needs to be careful that when the woman starts giving off words like that, that he needs to know, I have just shaken my wife in a terrible way, and I need to start comforting her here in some way and helping her to find out what's wrong here, what have I done that you would respond like this. The man needs to take that as a signal, something's wrong. Now, it works the other way around too, though, ladies, and that is, if you use words like always and never, you need to understand that those words are not accurate. You're relating that way because of your relational orientation and because you're hurt at the moment. But if you leave that word standing the way it is and don't go back to correct it, you will deflate your husband. And it will make it hard for him to be the kind of husband that you want him to be, and it's your fault because you didn't go back and make that right. And let me give an example. Guy doesn't take the garbage out. You don't love me anymore. You're always doing things like that. Now, guy says, there, I'm sorry I didn't take the garbage out, I'm sorry. He works to help the wife. She feels better emotionally, feels secure in his love. But if she doesn't go back and say something like, well, I know I was overreacting because of I was threatened by you, and I said always, and you don't always do things like that. I know that you're generally... See, if she doesn't go back and straighten it out, then what she'll do is, by her words, she will deflate her husband. And he will take her opinion of him to be the most accurate opinion of any human being because she knows him the best. And so if she says, you never do this right, then he will say, I never do it right, when it's not true. And the woman then defeats her own purpose by deflating her husband by using those kinds of words. Now, it's understandable that the woman uses the words because of her orientation and because she's been threatened. So there has to be wisdom on both sides. The man needs to understand, boy, I need to help my wife right now. She's been threatened by me. You know, what did I do? See, he needs to humble himself and say, I must have threatened you in some way. I'm sorry. What did I do? Let's talk about it. See? And if she doesn't want to talk right then, I don't want to talk right now. So, yes, I understand that you're emotional because I hurt you, but... Okay, then if the guy learns to be sensitive, the woman will usually learn to talk. And she'll open up. And so then when you talk about it, then the woman needs to go back and get it straightened out. Man needs to be sensitive. Man needs to say he's sorry if he hurt the woman. But the woman also needs to say, I'm sorry that I use the word always because that's not accurate. I'm sorry I use the word never because that's not accurate. And for some of you ladies who may not have heard this before, some of you married ladies, you may need to go back even tonight and ask some questions of your husband. Have there been times when I've deflated you? In your own estimation of yourself and your abilities as a husband, because I've said things like that, and you may need to apologize. And, of course, the man can apologize if he wasn't sensitive, recognizing he'd threatened his wife. Okay, so we use words like that. The woman, the Bible commands the man to treat the woman as a weaker vessel. And the word weaker means fragile, as in a very fragile glass vase. He is to treat her as a very fragile vessel. Now, that doesn't mean that the woman is weak, necessarily. Some very strong women as far as emotionally, intellectually, even physically. There's some women that are stronger than other men. Depends on the circumstances and the heritage and, you know, genetics and all the other things. But when it commands the man to treat the woman as a weaker vessel, I think the reason that it does that is because it's talking about husbands and wives, not men and women, but husbands and wives, and that the husband needs to treat the wife as a fragile vessel because he can so easily threaten her by the things that he does because she relates to him as my husband.